Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Ask Mr. Credit Card Blog Talk Radio Show. And today as my guest, I have Jeffrey, who has a blog called DeliverAwayDebt.com, and I would like to welcome him to the show. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Mr. Credit Card.
One of the reasons why, for those who are listening in, one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to Jeffrey was I discovered his blog, I believe, through a guest post that he wrote somewhere. And in that particular guest post, he was talking about how he took a second job as a pizza delivery person to help him to pay off his debt as soon as possible. And I just wanted to speak to him about that experience and obviously about other stuff as well. But I was pretty impressed with that in the sense that, you know, most folks would go about saying, hey, save your money on this, stinge your money on this, and you just went out, got a second job, and from what you've written, you know, it helped a lot, basically.
Oh, yeah, it helped a ton. I mean, it's quite a bit of money that I can set aside and repay all my debt, which is quite a bit. And saving money only gets you so far. So sometimes you got to get off your butt and get out there and do something, make some money.
Right. I was wondering if you can just roll back a little bit, and could you tell us a bit about yourself? Now, I'm reading your About Me page right now on your website, but could you, for our listeners, just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into that situation and what made you decide that, you know, you're going to get a second job to chip away at debt that you have accumulated, basically?
Let's see. I'm 34. I'm married with two kids, and
right.
I live in southeast Michigan.
Okay.
I've worked as an engineer, maintenance, all kinds of stuff for General Motors. That's what I currently
do.
And basically right after college, after my first year of college, I had a job in my field. So I went about the long way and took 10 years to get my degree. But after my first year, I was already working and making a really good income.
Right.
So one thing led to another. I was making really, really good money, and I was spending like that too.
Okay.
So I ended up spending a lot of money because overtime was always there. We were always doing good as a company, so there was always something to fall back on. Bills kept piling up, but I just chose to ignore them. And finally, one day, my wife and I woke up and said, this has got to stop. And pretty much, I had taken an overseas assignment in China. And once we got back from China, we lost about $2,000 out of our monthly income because of hazard pay. And
Okay. Needed
to replace it because my wife wasn't working at the time either. And so that's when everything really came to a head. And so in May of 2008, I decided to take on a second job delivering pizzas after listening to Dave Ramsey for a little while. And I mean, nobody would believe how much you can make delivering pizzas. I couldn't until I started doing it.
Okay. Now, I don't want to talk about your debt for a moment, but could you like just tell us a little bit about your assignment in China, just out of curiosity? And
yeah,
and
I was,
I'm just curious to know simply because everyone's talking about how great China's going to be, but you've been there, so.
Yeah, I lived there for 13 months, not like I was counting, but just over a year.
Okay.
And it was a pretty cool experience, actually. I took a job as I got promoted basically to where I wanted to be by the time I was 40, and I was 32, so that was a pretty big deal to me. And
right.
Went over there for a three-year assignment. And didn't quite work out for me. Just wasn't what I wanted, and I wasn't really that good at it. I'm more of a hands-on type of person as opposed to a desk jockey. And so I took a leave and came back to the States, and actually they gave me my job back, so that was a good thing. But over there, I mean, it was pretty neat. I was in a small town in southern China called Luzhou, and there was about 3.8 million people in the surrounding area, and there was 22 foreigners. And only about five of us were from America, and
right.
I think there was only 10 that actually spoke English. So it was a very small community. But it was a pretty neat experience. I mean, I learned what it was to be a minority because I'm a white male, and I mean it's eye opening when you actually put in that position. And I mean that's the biggest takeaway I had from the whole experience was I can see things differently than most people my age. for my race at the moment just because I was exposed to it, which is really cool. Understanding about society, I guess, is the way to put it.
And
got to see a lot of cool stuff.
Right. Now, was GM like the main like employer in a particular town or?
No, they were just a small employer. The construction industry is the biggest employer there by far. Because when I was there, they were at the boom time, and everyone was working. So it was there just before the economy started to go down. I got back to the States right when it started falling apart.
Right. Now, when you came back, how did you sort of take that hit in that income? Did you have to take a hit in that income, or was it because your wife stopped working? Or?
Well, my wife stopped working to go to China.
Okay.
So we were making extra money because of we basically got travel premium. Some people call it hazard pay. So I was making about $2,000 extra a month.
Okay.
And once I came back, that all disappeared. And
right.
It was difficult to make up for that.
Okay. Now, you are pretty transparent on your website in that on the right-hand navigation, you actually list out your overall debt that you had. You give your second mortgage numbers here, for example. Like, if I were asking you to break it down, how would you break it down in terms of mortgage, credit cards, student loans, or if you don't mind divulging the facts?
Yeah, it's all on my net worth pages.
Okay.
And so right now I've got a student loan, which is my wife's that we're just finishing paying off. I've got a second mortgage, so the student loan's around $5,000.
Okay.
I took a couple 401k loans, and combined those are about $13,000 at the moment.
Okay.
And then I've also got one credit card left that we're paying down, and that's, I think, about $17,000.
Okay.
And see what else I got. I got a second mortgage. Right now that's at $16,000, and I've got a personal loan I took from a family member for $18,000. So my grand total at the moment is $71,000. And I started with $101,000, just over $101,000.
Now, with this pizza delivery gig that you have, how fast is it going to, when do you anticipate paying off everything?
Everything will be done. I'll be done July next year. It'll probably be, I'm estimating it'll be a little sooner because I'm picking up a lot more overtime at GM. So all my extra money, anything above my normal budget goes right into paying off my debt. And I'm currently snowballing my second mortgage, which is $16,000, and want that done as quick as we can. I'm actually not following a normal debt snowball, kind of a hybrid of my own, just because it makes more sense on saving interest to do it the way I'm doing it. So I'll end up saving roughly $3,000 in interest for doing it the way I'm doing it.
Right.
But
see, I'm pretty intrigued with this. I'm pretty intrigued because $71,000 isn't a small number. In fact, if you ask most people would just be blown away and overwhelmed by it. And with this second job, you're telling me just based on your projections, at least sometime in the middle of next year. Worst case, later half of next year, basically.
Right. I've been at it for almost a year. I started May of 2009 is when I started with the $101,000.
Okay, so essentially 2 years. Now, just out of curiosity, this pizza delivery job you have, presumably everything net of taxes that you make, it's going towards debt payment, basically.
Yes,
and is that all that is, or is part of your day job income also going towards debt payment, or is it primarily just all from the pizza delivery?
Up until must have been October of last year, it was all pizza money going to my debt payment. Then I started to gain a little traction by paying different bills off to enable me to have extra money from my day job. So I'm combining the day job with the pizza money. So right now it's at about a 50-50 mix of pizza money plus day job money going to my debt repayment.
Okay, so essentially you have put in even more, basically, hence the snowball effect.
Yeah. The pizza gig will get it's going to get around $20,000 to $25,000 is what the pizza gig will get per year.
Okay.
Based on my normal hours.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge help, but you know, when you got 71,000, you got to kick in at all other places as well to pay that off as quick as I'm trying.
Now, have you ever actually made a calculations whereby you say, if you didn't take up this pizza delivery thing, how long would it have taken you to pay off this $100,000 in debt? Because based on your projections,
it would be
toward
the
years.
It would be towards the end of 2000, middle to end of 2012. So that's as of right now, if I didn't have the job. I haven't gone back and retroactively calculated it out to see if I didn't take the job at all.
Okay,
I'm
so
thinking it would have been about 2003 or 2013. Sometime.
Okay,
like
so you probably saved a couple of years, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I tell you what I'm really impressed with this whole exercise. I mean, it's not an exercise to you, but from where I'm sitting, think about 100,000, 2 years, and essentially you're working your butt off, basically, right? Taking extra hours,
yeah.
You've got kids, you're very tired, et cetera, et cetera. And if you think about it, the average home in the United States costs, I don't know, $200,000, you
right.
Think, depending on where you live. But let's just say $200,000 to $250,000 is a realistic number. Based on what you, basically what we're saying is someone in your position, you have to start all over again, you could essentially save a whole house just working your butt off for like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Without getting a mortgage or anything. It can be done. It's not like, and the reason why I want to bring this up is it's interesting because if you read in our personal finance blog, everyone kind of says, hey, it's not okay to have debt, but kind of like mortgage is okay.
Right.
And from my personal experience, I was renting for 10 years, and I do have a mortgage now, but I've never had a credit card debt, but I can tell you a mortgage sure feels like having a credit card debt. And
yeah.
To me, debt is debt. I just hate it that I have to pay that stupid amount every month to something that I wish I shouldn't be paying, but I guess I had to because I took out a mortgage. And
mm-hmm.
I guess your experience just shows that if you really sweat it out and have a little sacrifice, you actually could buy a house in cash if you really wanted to or set your mind to. But
yeah.
I guess nobody really thought about it that way.
If you put your mind to it, you can do it, and I definitely agree that you could do it.
Right. Now, you've documented a lot of, in fact, you've written quite a lot about, you know, your pizza delivery stories and how much you've made, you know, and stuff like that. But I was wondering if you can just, like, you know, spend some time telling us about some funny stories you've learned about dealing with customers and if there's anything that sticks to your mind. And if there's anything we can learn about being, you know, good customer service or, you know, how to deal with difficult folks and stuff like that. Tell us some of your horror stories.
I don't have a whole lot of horror stories. I mean, my most recent horror story was about a month ago. I delivered to a customer, first time I'd ever been there, and went up to the door, and he was my second delivery, and I'm always very meticulous in how I keep my money, my receipts, and everything. So I've got one pocket for change, I've got one pocket where I put all the money that the customer gives me for
right.
the tab, and I've got one pocket for my receipts. Kind of, I don't know, meticulous, I would say, I guess. And given the customer change, he had a $50 bill, and when you start out for the day, you usually take about $15 or $20 as a bank. So you work off of that until you get enough money to make change throughout the night. So
right.
I had it was my second delivery, so I had enough change to make it for him to break his $50. So
right.
in the process, somehow I slipped the $50 in his change and ended up in one transaction losing $67. And
ooh.
Unbeknownst to me, until I got back to my car, which was, you know, probably like 200 feet from his house, I got in my car and I just knew something wasn't right, so I drove down a couple houses, and I'm like, I didn't reach into my money pocket to put the 50 in there, because I was talking to the guy. And so I went right back to the house, walked up there, and knocked on the door. He's like, no, you didn't give me your change. So he went back and checked, and he's like, nope, I don't have the 50. So I looked around this house for a little bit, and, you know, I was extremely angry at the time because I just lost, you know, $67 that you know, I'd have to cover out of my pocket, which, you know, I'd make it back if I had to, you know, it's one of the things that go with the business, I guess. But 2 hours later, he calls the store and says, hey, send that delivery guy back. So I ended up running back there and go up to the door. He's like, you know, buddy, times are tough, so you really got to watch your money. Here's your 50. So he had the money the whole time trying to teach me a lesson. And all I could think of myself was some derogatory terms in my head. But I kindly bit my tongue, and I went back and talked to my manager. And I ended up calling him back, and I went and gave him a free gift certificate for a pizza.
Oh.
I knew he did it on purpose, but I ended up doing it because I didn't want him to do it to anyone else, just in case. So I wanted to show him some goodwill. So I went and gave him a gift certificate for a pizza. That was my worst horror story. But there's nothing too bad that happens. I haven't been held up yet. It's been a couple times that I've had some shady deliveries because I deliver into Detroit sometimes, which isn't the greatest place to deliver.
Right.
But it's an exciting job. My normal job, I don't get to deal with people like this, and I really, really enjoy the interaction I have with the customers. And our place does a lot of repeat business. So I almost know, I'd say, 80% of our customers' names. I get the same people order all the time, so I walk up, you know, hey, Mark, hey, Joe. And
now, let me ask you, how often do they offer?
How often do they order?
I'm just curious, like, because, you know,
depends. I get some sets of people that'll order every other week. I get some sets that'll order every week, and like every Friday at the same time they'll order. I've got other sets that'll order one of the days in the weekend, a Friday or Saturday or Sunday, they'll order at least once, and I've got other ones that'll do it maybe once a month. But,
okay,
I mean,
that's cool. I mean, I'm curious as to people order it like once every 2-3 days. Like, that's got to be a no.
Oh, we do.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I've got two guys that order, I'd say, 5 out of 7 days a week.
Oh!
So,
if you ever get to know a health nut, they'll say that's a no-no, you know?
Well, I mean, we get so much repeat business. We'll see the phone number. We don't have any computers. We're old school. Like, all the new places, they all have computers. The phone rings. It all goes to caller ID. I mean, we actually write out the ticket, and we look at the caller ID, but we don't have any computer systems for it, so we have most of our customers' numbers memorized and their order, and so they'll call in, and I'll answer the phone, and we'll be like, hey, Mark, you know, usual? Yeah, the usual, and so we'll take their order, or they'll
switch
it up sometimes.
Well,
I would say
I stole myself good pizza. It has to be good pizza for these guys to keep coming back.
Yeah, it's good, but it's pretty funny how loyal people get to some of their foods. Like, you know, they just love it, and that's what they want, and that's what they'll get.
Well, the other thing I just wanted to talk about a little bit more, and actually more for the sake of people who are listening, is it's interesting about your stories where you actually accidentally gave that person that $50. And one of the things to my life that I found about is when you're really tight on money, being careful is so important. And I'm not talking about money. It's kind of like, you know, you buy your son a baseball cap and he loses it the next day because he forgot to take it from somewhere you went. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And it's like, you know, shit, it's $10. And fine, you can make back $10. But it's almost like you give it away so, how should I say it, so cheaply. And it's something that I don't see written about a lot, but sometimes, I don't know about you, but there are some people who are just pretty callous about stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, they are.
You know, even something as simple as, you know, losing an umbrella or just forgetting simple stuff, right? And folks who are just callous, you know, I mean, if you're in a tight money situation, that's the most disastrous, in my opinion anyway, when money was tight. It's kind of really, really frustrating when you keep losing things just because you're callous.
Oh, it is.
And then it's like, oh, it's $5 here, it's $10 here, and before you know it, you blew away $200 because you forgot where you put something. or you left it somewhere and you couldn't find it. And I guess I just wanted to bring it out for folks that are listening in. It's kind of like, you know, you got to be careful simply because you know, unlike things like, you know, whatever folks say about buying a Starbucks latte, I mean, you get more pissed about losing things than losing your money. Well, that's my experience anyway. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you had a pretty interesting post on your site about your wife's experience renting an enterprise car. And I was wondering if you could just relive that experience and tell it to us on the show here.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to go back to your other question about the being careful.
Sure. Right.
When you're tight on money, I mean, it's everything, right? You're always careful. And one thing I do, because that triggered a really, I don't know if it's unique, but everything that I buy, everything I spend any money on, like just little sums of money, I always relate it back to deliveries. So if it's a $10 right. purchase, that's going to take me maybe 3 deliveries to make up that money.
Right.
And so I know how much work it takes for 3 deliveries. And so, it brings it into a better sense of how much something's worth and the time it takes to make it, to make the money to buy it. So when you're tight on money, I mean, it's a total heightened sense of awareness you have about everything you have around you.
Right.
And so, I mean, I look at all kinds of stuff and just automatically think how many deliveries it would take to earn that or to buy it. So if I lost something, like a hat, $10, you know, it'd probably take me 45 minutes to an hour to make that. And when you don't have a lot of time, it's just, I mean, it becomes, you know, you don't lose stuff. Or if you lose it, you don't go buy another one. You're done.
Right. Well, I tell that to my kids a lot. Like, you know, my son would lose his baseball glove, right? Like, as though it makes him a better hitter. But, hey, guess what? He lost it, and he ain't getting one this year.
Right.
You know, just kind of silly things like that, basically.
But enterprise. So, my wife, she was a little frustrated with that one. So we had a problem with her car. We had to take it to the shop. So
right.
we have an enterprise right across the street from us.
Okay.
And it's about 8 houses down from our house. So we walk across
right.
the street, or she went down there. And we had read on the website, you know, she needed some bills to prove that, you know, we had an income and one of my pay stubs to show that, you know, we actually have income, because without it, they wouldn't accept a debit card.
Right.
And we don't have any credit cards that we use. And we haven't closed all our accounts, but we will not use them. We haven't used credit cards in 2 years.
Right.
But, so she went there, and they gave her a big hassle about it, and ended up, you know, I even forgot how that whole story went. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I do, but it's kind of like, you know, they were telling her they just wouldn't rent her a car if she didn't have a credit card, and...
Yeah, she ended up having to walk back home.
Have your pay stubs, and because of that, they wouldn't rent her the car that she wanted, and it was kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So then, when she first walked in, they were showing her a Cadillac SRX.
Right.
You know, which is it's a nice car, and we see Cadillacs all the time. My wife's like, all right, I've wanted to test drive one of those for a while, so she's like, all right. So they're like, we'll put you in it. So started getting her information and found out that, you know, we didn't have a credit card, so then they downsized her to a Impala the first time.
Right.
And she ended up having to come home to grab another bill to go prove that, you know, we could pay our bills, because I gave her a water bill. It's the only one I had handy, because I usually shred all my information. And, you know, that didn't work for her, so we had to go digging out another statement online and get it printed out so we could take it and just prove that, you know, hey, we can pay our bills, so rent us the car. I mean,
right.
it was just a whole fiasco. And I mean, I guess maybe if we would have read a little closer, we would have been a little more prepared, but, you know, they pretty much looked at her like, you know, she was just some deadbeat walking in there and trying to rent a car, and she's definitely not a deadbeat. You know, we work our butts off, and just because you don't have a credit card, you know, you can't rent a car. It's kind of ridiculous to me.
Now, tell me about your credit card story. Like, what made you decide not to use it? like 2 years ago?
Oh, just because we looked at our balances and said, oh my God, I can't believe we've incurred this much debt.
Right.
And a lot of it was based on credit cards and just reckless use. We never lived on a budget.
Okay.
And this was right after China.
Okay.
And I'd been working on paying stuff down and not paying it down, but finally we just looked at each other and said, this is it. If we can't live on what we bring in, then we're not going to live. So we just basically completely stopped using them and went right to debit, and we didn't have the money. We didn't buy it, and it was a pretty big deal for both of us to quit using credit cards. But once you stop, it's real easy never to use them again.
But will you ever use it again just for the convenience sake, just out of curiosity? And the reason I'm asking is, for example...
Someday, I might. Someday.
Like, we talk about, like, the car rental situation. Like, I know the credit card that I use, like, I have an Amex, basically. Even, like, some Visa cards have it. Like, if you pay your credit card at car rentals, you don't have to pay the auto collision, like, insurance. Now, for a day's rental, like, if your car broke down, you might not really want to buy it.
Right.
But when you're traveling, that could add up to like a couple hundred bucks, for example. Like, so to me, that's like, okay, if I travel somewhere once a year, that pays for like your auto rental collision, basically. Now, obviously, you know, you have to use it in a way that you pay in full. So I'm just curious if there will come a day where you'll actually get back to use it just for the convenience of it, not having to go through that nonsense that you went through with Enterprise.
As far as convenience, I don't know if it would just be convenience.
Okay.
No, I guess now I try to buck the system.
Right.
Just because everyone assumes that you have to do it, and you really don't. And now if in your case where you were actually going to be charged extra money because you didn't have it, that would probably be the only time that I would do it. And I probably will always have maybe a credit card. But
So you might take it out if you have to rent a car the next time, basically.
Right.
Knowing what you know now.
Knowing what I know now, but there's also, I know a little more now what you need to bring, so the next time we have to do it, I'll have the right information right then and there, and, you know, what I'll probably end up doing is just printing off their policy and bringing it in. If they give me any guff, then, you know, hey, this is what you guys talk about, so here it is.
Okay.
And I think I'm more, I don't know, my behavior's completely changed, so I don't need credit cards, and behavior's what got me into debt in the beginning. Not the credit cards, it was my behavior. So it's not like I blame the credit cards. I don't really see a need for them. So I don't know if I really would use them or not. I'd have to, it'd probably depend on the circumstance.
Right. Now, how do you guys do your budgeting these days? Like, once you decided you're going to pay down your debt, you know, you took up your second job, do you guys, like, sit down every month and go over an Excel spreadsheet or something like that?
We use an Excel spreadsheet. And it takes about, I don't know, 5 minutes to update it.
Right.
And that's about it. It's been, it's only had 3 changes since we started it back in May last year. And there's been, you know, real little changes. So everything's pretty much the same. We do all our stuff through ING. All my money comes in to my ING Orange account. And I have, I think it's 15 separate accounts set up. So I go in on the 15th and 31st.
You have 15 separate sub-accounts set up?
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot. Now, how do you break them down, just out of curiosity?
So let me take you through it real quick. So I have a housing account, which I take my taxes, my both mortgages, and break them up, add them up for the month, divide by 2, and that's how much goes in the housing account.
Right.
So on the 15th, goes right out of my check, right into the housing. I manually transfer it online and put that money in it. So whenever the payment's due on the first of the month, Bank of America has the okay to only draft out of that account. So they'll go in and take their money from that account. And they don't have any information for any other of my accounts, so only that account.
Right.
And same thing with the taxes, same thing with the second mortgage. Then I've got utilities set up the same way. My utilities fund is gas, water, power.